Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the KSFR Fun Drive, and today is day one, and if you're just tuning in, this is the time we come to you about twice a year to ask you to contribute to this fine station. Today, we have it's a special day for me, because last week, when Amy Goodman was in town, I had the opportunity to actually interview her, and so I'm going to air the interview, which was conducted right in the middle of last week. She and Dennis Moynihan were going to come to the cafe and just couldn't make it. So I packed up my portable equipment and went to their hotel. And we had a wonderful conversation, which you will hear most of right now. I'm going to get as much of it in as I possibly can. And they were so gracious about taking the time for KSFR in their very busy schedule. I don't quite know how they do it. I think they work something like 12-hour days or more every single day of the week. But there they are. She gave a wonderful conversation, a wonderful talk, and nice conversation at the Lensic Wednesday night, and talked about her new book, The Silenced Majority. And that is a book that you can get right now if you call and make a contribution to KSFR. The number is 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, and the toll-free number is 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. So for a modest contribution, you can get a copy of Amy's book, but most of all, you can support public radio, you can support KSFR, and you can become part of this radio station. We're looking this hour between now and 9 o'clock to bring in $1,500 in contributions. Shouldn't be too hard. If you call and make a contribution to get the book, there we have it. And if you call and make a contribution to get a book and then give a little extra, that is great too. One of the things that we're doing is we are encouraging people to give on a monthly basis. And so a small amount can be withdrawn, $10, $15, $20, whatever works for you, can be drawn from your account. And that way you become a monthly donor, and you don't even have to think about donating during the fund drives unless you want to give a little extra. Monthly donors who are out there, sometimes they call during the fund drives and they give a little extra. But give a call right now to 405-428-1393, 505-428-1393, that's the correct number, 428-1393, that's the KSFR Fun Drive number. So, give a call right now, and we're going to listen to Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan, who is really her right-hand man, if I can say that, and he's the co-author of the book. So let's hear them now, and we'll be back in a little bit. I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Amy Goodman. She's the host of Democracy Now! And Dennis Moynihan, who also works with Democracy Now! And the two of them are co-authors of the new book, The Silenced Majority, Stories of Uprisings, Occupations, Resistance, and Hope. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Mary Charlotte, and congratulations on all that you do.
Well, congratulations to you. You are, I think, our most beloved radio person in all of New Mexico. Your program is heard really all over the state. It's heard twice a day on KSFR, and we're so proud to have you on the air. Now, Democracy is the name of the show. It's the supposed driving force of our country, and yet we seem at this point in history to have such an ambivalent, if not outright hypocritical, relationship to democracy. In the United States, talk about some of the ways in which we preach democracy but actually do the opposite.
Well, I mean, we're talking to you in this election year, 2012, the first post-Citizens United election. And that means we are talking about, is the word avalanche, torrent, flood of money in electoral politics like we have never seen before. It's expected that well over $2 billion will be spent, and we won't even know where much of that money comes from. That matters. I mean, unfortunately, what is so often the case, though there are exceptions to the rule, those who have the most money win. So in this year, you have a couple of moguls who are promising to spend, for example, Sheldon Adelson, the Vegas casino magnate who also has casinos in Macau, has been investigated for bribery and corruption, started by supporting Newt Gingrich, giving him millions of dollars, then moved over, maybe somewhat grudgingly, to Mitt Romney. Well, spending like $100 million in this election. The Koch brothers, the oil and gas billionaire magnate, funders of the Tea Party, will spend something like, it's believed, $400 million. I mean, Dennis, you come from Colorado, where they are really concerned, the Republicans and Democrats, because it's a swing state, the money you've seen it pour in.
Right. And it's also not only the $2 billion for the presidential campaign, but probably several billion on the down ballot races for Congress for various initiatives.
Meaning state legislative.
The whole thing. So $5 billion putting participation for most individuals kind of out of reach. Then what follows from that? The belief that your vote doesn't matter. Or you're just being swamped by money. Colorado, where I'm from, right, we have swing state status. So, you know, the Crossroads GPS ads, these are kind of organized by Karl Rove and his super PAC and his PAC. I was thinking of Colorado when you mentioned the Kochs, because we're on this 100-city tour, and it's always a great respite to be in northern New Mexico and Santa Fe in particular. Such a welcoming place. The trip took us through Paonia for a benefit for the community radio station there, and we drove by the Oxbow Mine, owned by the third Koch brother. He doesn't get as much attention, but he is politically active in his own realm, and that was Bill Koch. And we've started at the conventions, Republican convention in Tampa, the Democratic convention in Charlotte, gone through Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, stopped in Chicago during the an hour after the teachers' strike was settled. And we've been
and
going
And the citizens' actions we've been seeing. I mean, from Chicago, having Karen Lewis on, the head of the Chicago Teachers Union, right as the strike was being settled. And then the next day, we took a satellite truck to Freeport, Illinois, to this encampment outside a factory, a plant run by a company called Sensata, which most people haven't heard of. But it is owned by Bain Capital.
Right.
And they're exporting the jobs and closing the plant to China. And the workers there had to train their replacements. They brought in the Chinese workers. It's an amazing story. So we broadcast from there for a morning, right next to the campfire where the workers had slept through the night, and then they're going to their 5 a.m., 7 a.m., 2 o'clock shifts. And just this week, as we're coming through Santa Fe, we hear that several of the people, community members, a 16-year-old daughter of one of the workers, got arrested because they are now putting their bodies in front of the trucks that are taking away the equipment to, they fear, send it to China. It's going to close in a few weeks. So to bring out these voices, when you ask about democracy, we see all different forces at play. We see the money swamping politics. We see large corporations, you know, running away to other countries to make more money. Even though, for example, Sensata makes a lot of money. It's not like it was going to be a bankrupt company, but wanted to make more. Bain Capital wanted to make more. And you have these worker actions that are happening all over also. These walkouts at the Foxconn plant that makes iPhone 5s in China. And then the Walmart workers who have just walked out of plants that are making things for Walmart. A lot of action is happening at the grassroots right now.
Where do you see democracy actually functioning well?
I see it at the grassroots level. I see it with community groups. I see it with Occupy. I mean, my God, this is the year of movements. You have the Arab Spring, you have Egypt, you have Tunisia, you have people finally having a say. Now, where, for example, the Egyptian revolution goes, we don't know. I mean, that is continuing to unfold. But that inspired Wisconsin. You know, this huge uprising, unprecedented in Wisconsin's history. And this is people across the political spectrum. You have the Oshkosh prison guards who voted for Governor Walker in Wisconsin, now protesting Governor Walker, joining with teachers and other members of public unions saying, no, we didn't elect you to eviscerate collective bargaining rights. And then you have Occupy itself. You have young people and old marching on Wall Street a year ago, and they said, we don't like the way Wall Street is going and determining our futures, the growing inequality in this country. And This has had a tremendous effect on our culture. Everyone knows the word Occupy.
Yeah.
Where this goes to, I don't know. I don't think you achieve democracy. I think it is a constant struggle. And all the different groups that Mary Charlotte, you cover and we cover and that Dennis and I write about in the book and with our weekly columns, we call these groups that we cover in this country the same thing that we call groups in other countries, pro-democracy movement, people fighting for democracy every day.
Now, you're talking about democracy as a struggle and protests. Is there anywhere you've seen in your travels where, as government, it's working? A democratic governmental process, whether it be in a village or a country or a state?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Just in our headlines this week, though I would not say at this moment it's working, President Nasheed, who is the president of the Maldives, we came to know him in Copenhagen. You know, here is a president of a small island nation, first president democratically elected from this small nation, being one of the major spokespeople, clarion calls to deal with climate change because his country will be submerged. And until a few months ago, I would say, very interesting. The people elected him. He'd been tortured under the previous dictator. But now the dictator, the previous leader, his forces have just thrown President Nasheed out by gunpoint, and he's just been arrested. So I can't use this as a positive example, though there are many who are standing up for him and fighting back.
I think also the kind of small d democracy, Democrats of Vermont, that's an example where you have not only Vermont, but there are town hall meetings are in Vermont, and they're kind of working on things like a citizens initiative to change the U.S. Constitution to ban, to overturn Citizens United or the 1876 Supreme Court ruling that kind of ultimately granted corporations the rights of people. This is going to be, I think, the mother of all grassroots organizing efforts to get a constitutional amendment using the secondary or there are two processes described in the Constitution for amendments. One is through the Congress, but now we believe the Congress is bought out completely, ineffective and not likely to change itself. So there's the grassroots citizens initiative, which ultimately has to go through state legislatures, but state legislatures are still entities that can be changed.
More beholden to the people, but with the kind of money that's pouring in now, we're seeing that challenge as well. As we travel this country, the action really is at the state level. Move to amend what Dennis is talking about, this movement to overturn Citizens United. In North Carolina, 10 cities, and it may be more since we've been there alone, and towns and communities have passed resolutions to support this. The town halls of Vermont are amazing democracy in action.
And the state intervening to shut down an aging, decrepit nuclear power plant in Vermont. You know, that's kind of an interesting...
With the governor fully behind that shutdown, the corporation, though, fully against it and challenging it in court.
And Vermont, I think, is the only state to have banned hydraulic fracturing, and they're the only state to offer single-payer health.
Right. And I'd say, since you bring up fracking, we cannot travel anywhere without seeing vigorous citizen action against fracking. I mean, it was brought up in Taos at the event, also just from across the Marcellus Shale from New York to Ohio. Interestingly, we learned in western Wisconsin by Eau Claire, where we did an event, people are concerned about fracking, not because there's drilling going on where they are, but because one of the three main components of fracking, there's the fracking fluid, which is this notorious stew of toxins, water, which is scarce and being used for this use, but also sand. And the sand is not just any sand from anywhere. It's actually a very fine, specific kind of sand that's being strip mined from the shores of the upper Mississippi River around western Wisconsin. And so people wake up overnight and they see that there's this massive strip mining operation going on, threatening the health of the Mississippi River. They rely on the riverbanks to protect them from flooding. And it's just a scar over this farmland.
We were just in Moab, Utah, talking about resources. And everyone now knows about the Keystone XL pipeline because of the movements that organized and formed a ring around the Rose Garden last September and October a year ago and demanded that President Obama stop it. 1,200 people were arrested. He basically called it off until after the elections. But now here we are in Moab, Utah, and people are talking about, well, what about the tar sands here? And we're going, what? In the lower 48, that's the largest deposit. And they are deeply concerned that just outside Moab, that this kind of tar sands drilling will take place. We're seeing resource wars and struggles all over the country in a way we haven't seen before.
We're talking to Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan. And I am at the cafe right now. That's an interview that I recorded last week with Amy and Dennis when they were here visiting. We are in the KSFR Fun Drive, and if you like what you're hearing, you can get a book. Their newest book is called The Silenced Majority. We have many copies of it at KSFR, and you can get your own copy of it if you make a donation right now to KSFR. They'll tell you all about it when you call on the phone, 505-428-1393. 505-428-1393, and the toll-free number 866-907-5737. Sometimes when I listen to Amy Goodman, I think, you know, this is way out, one point of view. A lot of people think that. They say, well, you know, it's not mainstream. When I really think about it, and we will talk about this more in the interview that is coming up, it is way more mainstream, I think, than most of us give it credit for, because we have a very high unemployment rate in this country. We have this concentration of wealth at the highest levels of this country in tiny numbers of people, and most of us are just trying to get by. The environmental problems that they cover in Democracy Now! Affect every last one of us. Even if you're in the 0.0001%, you're still affected by environmental problems. And when you think about the array of news outlets that is there for us to choose among, it's almost like a physics, you know, what is pushing in what direction? Pushing, I don't like the terms right and left, but pushing one direction, pushing the other direction, pushing for, and what are they pushing for? Amy Goodman, pushing for justice, pushing for telling the truth, pushing for getting out and asking ordinary people who they are and what they think and what is going on in their lives. And giving a picture of this country that is not seen through rosy-colored glasses nor mythologized, but giving a picture of this country which it may not be super beautiful all the time, but it's true. And we need to support that kind of journalism. One of the bravest journalists out there, Amy Goodman, and her staff, she attracts some of the most amazing journalists that go on to have fabulous careers outside of Democracy Now! Some of them stay forever and ever. They have a small, lean operation, as does KSFR, and that operation needs to be supported. Ours needs to be supported. So call now, 428-1393, 428-1393. You can get a copy of this book, The Silenced Majority, as I said before, and you can also make a monthly donation, and so it is very low impact on your wallet, on your bank account, to make a small contribution monthly to KSFR, and it actually helps us immeasurably. If we had a few thousand monthly donors, these fund drives would be very short, and we hope that this one will be very short because you all contribute now. 428-1393. And I take a couple of minutes to talk because that's the time that you can call, 428-1393. And then we get back to Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan. So please give a call right now and support KSFR. Support this resource on which you hear Democracy Now!, on which you hear the Radio Cafe, on which you hear all the shows that you love and that you count on. They don't get on the air without your support. You are the listeners. We are listener-supported. So call now, 428-1393. Back to Amy Goodman. We're back with Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan of Democracy Now! Let's shift gears for a moment. You started doing Democracy Now! What, in 1995?
1996, the only daily election show in public broadcasting. And we were broadcasting a few dozen community radio stations. KUNM came in very early on.
Yes.
And that was amazing. And we thought it would be 9 months, February to November, and document what's happening. Now, when I was called by Pacifica to be the host, I was in Haiti. And I would have been sort of the least likely host because, I mean, what I wondered about in the United States was why so many people didn't vote. The majority of people didn't vote. But that was really intriguing because, and not just intriguing, I think it is a fundamental issue of democracy. Why people didn't feel that their vote mattered, or were they apathetic, which I didn't think. I did think people were engaged in their communities, and I wanted us to set out to find out why. I mean, Haiti, people were gunned down when they went to the polls, but they still went in overwhelming numbers, and East Timor the same. And yet here, we don't face anything like that, and people just sort of go about their day. Of course, there are a lot of obstacles. It's very hard to register, and you don't get the day off, and you have to ask why it is made so difficult. And now in this election year, increasingly difficult with the voter purges in Florida and
voter
You've got
ID.
Issues here in New Mexico as well and in Pennsylvania, right, voter ID. But so here we went from state to state looking at what people were doing on the ground. So then November came along and I thought the project would be over and there was more demand for the show than there was before the election because we were giving voice to people at the grassroots and that's not just an election year. And so it started to grow. And then the week of September 11, 2001, just coincidentally, we went on our first TV station, Public Access TV, in New York City, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, as emergency programming. We were the closest national broadcast to Ground Zero, and the show just took off. More public access TV stations in the country asked if they could run the show. We were sending them out in big black garbage bags filled with video cassettes. The FedEx guys would come and take these huge bags because I couldn't see sending it snail mail. This is breaking news. Then we started to use the internet to pioneering a way to send broadcast quality video through the internet. And we were able to get these shows out every day and then using satellites. And now it's our sweet 16. It's 16 years later. And we're broadcasting on over 1,100 public radio and television stations around the country and around the world.
With a very nice New Mexico connection.
Indeed. And you are available multiple times a day, at least in this market, in Santa Fe, on both TV and radio. It's extraordinary. How did you do that? I mean, did you approach public radio stations? Did they approach you?
It's usually the community. I mean, more and more radio stations started to ask for Democracy Now! And then NPR stations. It was wonderful when KSFR came on board, was born, for God's sakes. And that was so fantastic here in Santa Fe. And then PBS stations started asking, and more around the largest PBS, one of the largest PBS stations in the country is KQED in San Francisco, also on KRCB. We just went on the Howard University PBS station in Washington, D.C. PBS station after PBS station has picked us up throughout Ohio, so there's a huge push. And in fact, the way we send out our PBS broadcast, Dennis, yeah, you were the one
right.
who was
we send it,
in this.
We send it up to the PBS satellite through KNME. PBS has several uplink facilities around the country, but really probably the most accessible and obviously the one that's closest to our work is the one in Albuquerque, Channel 5. So Westlink is what it's called. It's based at KNME right on the campus there, and it's most of your audience is waking up or sleeping at about 6 a.m. A beam of data is coming down from the sky, hitting an antenna in Albuquerque, and then getting shot up to the PBS satellite.
And a lot of our listeners are tuning in at 6 a.m.
Oh, is that when? Okay, so to all of you listening at 6 a.m., good morning. And then you just kind of stay tuned for Mary Charlotte. What a great full morning of news, public affairs, and well worth regular and generous support.
We're talking to Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan.
And you're listening to KSFR, the KSFR Fund Drive, 428-1393, 428-1393. And once again, if you like what you're hearing, give us a call and make a contribution to KSFR. Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan, they're wonderful, amazing people. They just, it's the kind of atmosphere at Democracy Now! And when you talk to these folks that are traveling, they're on these grueling travel schedules. And if you have the sense that If they just had a little more time, you could sit down and really have a big conversation with the community and have a dinner party and really get talking about the most important things, the most important issues in our time, which of course is what they do on this show, and which is what we're doing now. I felt very lucky to have this conversation that I could broadcast for you. 428-1393, if you like it. We're going for a $1,500 goal this hour. 428-1393. Now, Amy Goodman is, I have to say, kind of a role model for me. And there's something about when a woman gets on the air, and as she did in the 90s, I think the mid-90s, I've been listening to her since she started doing the show, and starts doing a show every day, 5 days a week, you think to yourself, I can do that. And she starts doing a show with minimal support, at least at first, and much more support now, thanks to a lot of people, including all the stations that listened to her, including the Lannan Foundation, including KSFR, which supports the show by subscribing to it, and in turn, you support us by subscribing to KSFR. That's the way that you can support Democracy Now. 428-1393, 428-1393. And you can get a copy of the book, The Silenced Majority. And it's a wonderful book. You can remember stories that you've heard on the show. You could read about stories that you have never heard. And you can kind of get a sense of what this land of yours and mine is all about right now. And the perception of Democracy Now. 428-1393. I'm getting the feeling that we have a report from the control room.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, but do call and get that book for a contribution of $40, The Silenced Majority. You'll know these names, at least some of them, Mary Charlotte. We have so many people to thank.
Yay.
Diane Karp.
Yay.
Liz Randall.
Oh, thank you.
Carrie Lynn Chu.
Okay, thank you.
Ann Anthony.
Wonderful.
Elaine Coleman.
Yay.
Marie Morgan.
Thank you.
And Mary Ann Folks. And I want to say also that Elaine Coleman said maybe her contributing or calling her friends will also be inspired to contribute. So
if you know the names of everybody, if anybody who called in whose names you just heard, let that be an example. And if not, if you're a first-time caller, if you just started listening, this is the time where we ask you for just a modest contribution. So give a call, 428-1393. Marilyn? Sorry, I interrupted you.
I was just going to say, the phones have been busy. There's people on the phone. We have someone from Star Burgers, Five Star Burgers, answering the phone. They came in early this morning and are staying with us for a while.
Thank you.
And it's really nice to have the community supporting us in this way, the businesses in the community.
Indeed.
So there you go, Mary Charlotte. All of you out there, I want to challenge all of you out there to give a call right now to just give a five up to Mary Charlotte and maybe $5 a month or something like that, just to show your support for the Radio Cafe, because it's one of our most valuable morning shows. And we know that from you in the past, and we want to keep hearing that from you, that you really love hearing the things that Mary Charlotte brings to you 5 days a week. She was just talking about how Amy Goodman started out and you know, has doing this show. It's not easy to produce a show day after day after day. It takes a lot of behind the scenes work. And Mary Charlotte has, over the years that she's been doing this, has continued to wow us with her interviews and the kinds of information that she brings to us here on this independent radio station. Thank you, Mary Charlotte, from me. I hope we hear many thank yous from the listeners today out there.
505-428-1393. Marilyn, thank you for your kind words. 428-1393, or if you're out of area, on a landline, 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. Let's go back to Amy Goodman. So one thing that I find fascinating is Democracy Now! Often breaks stories
days, weeks, sometimes years before, for example, the New York Times. I was at my college reunion back east a few years ago, and there was a wonderful guy there who I'd gone to college with who was a high-level editor at the Wall Street Journal. And I said to him, why is it that you, who have all the money in the world, missed climate change and WMDs in Iraq and Democracy Now in the alternative media, who have no money, got these stories before you did? He had no answer. It was just double talk. What's going on?
Well, that's really interesting, because on this 100-city tour, we were just in Denver. We'd come from Colorado Springs, the 11th anniversary of the war in Afghanistan. Amazing, the longest war in U.S. history. And we've been broadcasting from the area around Fort Carson, which has 114 times the murder rate of surrounding Colorado Springs, with the soldiers coming home, and they don't know when to hit the kill button off. It shows you the horror in Iraq, not to mention what's happening at home. And then we went to Denver, and I was invited on Al Jazeera English to have a discussion with David Weston, the former head of ABC World News Tonight. And that very issue was raised. He said he thinks that the media is fair and doing a good job and raising the issues, as we talked about elections and war. And I said, really? Let's go back to 2003. He was in charge of ABC World News Tonight. In that 6 weeks before the invasion of Iraq, the group FAIR did a study of the four major nightly newscasts, NBC Nightly News, CBS Evening News, ABC World News Tonight, under David Weston, and the PBS NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. In that 2 weeks around Colin Powell giving his push for war at the UN, then the Secretary of State, there were 393 interviews done around war. Only three were with anti-war leaders, three of almost 400, when half the population was opposed to war. And I said that to David Weston, saying, that's no longer a mainstream media. That's an extreme media.
What did he say?
He said, it may surprise you, Amy, but I agree with you. And it did surprise me. And he said he will forever regret that Peter Jennings, who died of lung cancer, you know, the ABC World News anchor, had grave reservations about this whole argument for weapons of mass destruction, didn't think the evidence was in. And that David Weston, the president of ABC World News, basically prevailed upon him, pushed back, and told him to hold off. And he said, Weston said, we were under enormous pressure.
Who was the pressure coming from?
Right. You have to interview David Weston. But clearly the government, and not to ask these questions. And Weston caved. Peter Jennings, well, we have the studies that show how many voices were brought on to really seriously question. I mean, Dennis, what about that Australia station?
Right. I mean, going back to 2003, after or during Shock and Awe, we distribute the show nationally via satellite, but also globally. Stations can take down the MP3. It's been carried in townships in South Africa on community radio there. And across Australia, community radio stations carry the show. And during Shock and Awe, the station in Sydney, which is called Radio Skid Row, got a listener comment that they forwarded to us. The listener said, how is it that the poorest station in Sydney is providing the best coverage of the war?
Exactly. I mean, this is the world we're living in. And I think as a population, we haven't really quite come to terms with the fact that we're living in something that kind of reminds me of the Soviet system in the 1970s, where, you know, there was TASS or whatever the Soviet news outlet was that was giving you pablum, and then there were these underground channels where information was distributed. Obviously, it's not as extreme as that, and you can function above board. You don't have to hide from the authorities. Democracy Now! Doesn't. But still, there's not a perception that Democracy Now! Or The Nation or any of these other groups are in any way mainstream, when perhaps they represent mainstream thinking a lot more than the perception is that they do.
When you mentioned TASS and Pravda, I was in Armenia in January of 95, and it was not far from Chechnya, right when the Russians began their first assault on Chechnya. And it was at that moment in post-Soviet Russia when there was an independent press. Obviously, it's been severely clamped down on and taken over. But at that time, with the invasion of or bombing assault on Chechnya happening, there was the state media, which Boris Yeltsin controlled, talking about the glorious victories in Chechnya. And then, for this moment, there was Reuters was putting out its own feed, and some of the moguls that had still their freedom and their ownership of the networks were putting out both side by side. And one of my hosts in Armenia, who's, you know, very savvy and spoke fluent English, was translating. He's like, oh yeah, here we have the state media. And then they'd show cut to these grim video images of the reality and the young Russian soldiers, you know, their bodies were frozen. It was January. And so there's an example of, right, this was the classic case of kind of a transition from controlled media. So what do we have in the U.S. during the invasion of Iraq? Shock and awe, this kind of chest-thumping, flag-waving, high-end graphic packages showing us the beauty of the military rolling across the desert.
And for those in this country who are harumphing right now listening to this broadcast saying, come on, if you're making any suggestion, we have state media here. Okay, I just want to ask you a question. If we had state media, how would it be any different?
Exactly.
And I just have to say that, you know, the comment from Radio Skid Row listener, how is it that the poorest station in Sydney is doing the best coverage of the war, isn't to highlight or to glory in the lack of resources. It's to say, you know what, we can do a lot with a little. And I think that's what public radio does. I mean, you do such a good job here at KSFR. I mean, just to see you at the cafe, you know, with this amazing, right, this kind of crossroads of human activity in Santa Fe with, you know, a fairly basic setup that you can just put in a bag and carry. And yet you get this kind of amazing content that you share across hundreds of miles. And that's just kind of an example of what we need to invest in and support.
That's right. Media that gives voice to the grassroots and every community has tremendous global wisdom. And that's what we need to hear. I am sick of the small circle of pundits we get on all the networks who know so little about so much, explaining the world to us and getting it so wrong.
We're talking to Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan of Democracy Now! And you're listening to KSFR, the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan talking about their life and their work and what they do in Democracy in America today. And their book, The Silenced Majority, which, ladies and gentlemen, can be yours for a low, low price, reasonably low price for this book and a contribution to KSFR. And, you know, let's say that the price of the book or price of a giveaway that we sometimes give with our request for contributions is $40. But maybe you want to give 50 or even 100. Maybe you want to get a couple of the books and give them away. Christmas is definitely coming. It's always somebody's birthday as well. And it's terrific to get a copy of The Silenced Majority, 505-428-1393. And I think the phones are ringing. I am sitting in the Santa Fe Baking Company smelling the sweet, sweet smell of bacon and coffee. And I can't hear the telephones. 428-1393. And somebody who I don't know, who had a political button on, just came and shook my hand and left. I do not know who it was, but they looked like they were a radio supporter. I love it. The Santa Fe Baking Company, I actually believe, is the exact center of the universe. I think that everything else revolves around the Santa Fe Baking Company, because eventually everybody shows up here one way or another, either to be on the show or to drink coffee or to hang out. It's quite extraordinary. 428-1393.
They love you, Mary Charlotte.
It's nice. It's nice to have a show that, it's nice to have the opportunity to do a show that people listen to. Are we getting calls?
Oh, yes. At least two phones have been busy throughout this whole show so far, and we hope to keep that up. At one time, there were four of us on the phone. I have several thank yous.
Go for it.
Leah Rosen of Tierra Sagrada Pottery in La Cienega.
Oh, wonderful.
Brian Morgan.
And may those artists keep calling.
Oh, yes.
Brian Morgan, thank you.
Elizabeth Johnson.
Thank you.
Jackie Dooley.
Yay.
Tony Rivera.
Wonderful.
Cy Husbosky.
Great.
And Nan Brown.
Thank you.
And let's see, a couple more. Mary Dool, or Dull, I'm not sure how she pronounces that. Nancy Grabowski And that's it for right now, but there's more coming.
Yay! So thank you very, very much for all of you. And we're going to go back to Amy Goodman, because this is a longer interview than I had planned to do. We just kept talking. I actually had to cut out a little chunk of it to fit it into this show. But we're going to go back to that right now. And we will be back to you at the end of the program, 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393. And this is the KSFR Fun Drive. We're going for at least $1,500 this hour. If we can break that, so much the better. Sometimes we've made $2,000 in an hour. And for a town this small and for a reach of our antenna, which is really, what, Albuquerque to Taos at best. But, you know, let's hear from some of the people, too, who live in the hills and who live in Los Alamos and who are maybe going to their jobs up at the lab. 428-1393. If you like what you hear, call and give a call now. And back to Amy and Dennis. What is your relationship like? I mean, Democracy Now! Has really gotten big. People listen to it in every state and beyond. They listen to it in all kinds of countries. Do people from the major newspapers and TV stations, are they aware of you? Do you communicate with them?
Oh, all the time. I mean, people know that there is this growing independent media in this country. I mean, part of our mission at Democracy Now! Is to support, shore up independent media, to do fundraisers for KSFR, to do fundraisers off and on the air. That's when we're traveling around this country. Much of the events we do outside of the broadcast are fundraisers for community media and a way to highlight the media, yes, that broadcast Democracy Now!, but also that is there in a community that people might not know about. Even, for example, public access TV stations, they're not as well known, and we are losing them around the country, because if you don't know about them, people don't tune in for them, and then they don't fight for them. And we need public media in this country and around the world. You know, Democracy Now! Also airs its headlines in Spanish every day. It's in over 300 radio stations around the country and around the world, just the headlines in Spanish, because Spanish language media also suffers from the same kind of media concentration as English language media does to get independent headlines from around the world. And then because stations run Democracy Now! In Spanish, we get more and more stories coming from all of those places, people writing in and saying, what about covering this and that?
One of the things that I think is hard for some people about Democracy Now! Is that if you watch it every day, you can get depressed. You have innocent people being executed on death row. You have environmental problems around the world. You have money in politics. You have strong corporations winning battles against ordinary people. And yet one of the things that for me is like the subtext underneath what you're doing is just this love for ordinary people.
I really do think, you know, I am surprised when we go around the country, and I know that there's really tough issues that we all have to deal with, but when people talk about Democracy Now!, they talk about hope. And that's actually the subtitle of the book, Stories of Uprisings, Occupations, Resistance, and Hope. There is something about hearing not just how difficult a situation is, but what people are doing about it, that the analysts are often activists who are involved in doing something about it. That's what gives people hope. You know, here you have this group of people in Freeport, Illinois, who are losing their jobs, 170 of them. They had to train their Chinese replacements. But they are organizing. They are galvanized. They're now meeting with Bain Capital workers all over the country. And they're saying, what can we do? Or in Walmart, you know, they're being, on the one hand, you have this large corporation that money goes into fighting any kind of government regulation and any kind of so-called, quote, big government, and yet they are moving into communities demanding government subsidies for moving into those communities. And the workers in not only the retail stores but in the warehouses are now standing up. They're fighting back, and they are winning. Again, democracy isn't just achieved. It's this back and forth. It's this push. And people who are on the ground organizing, I think, just get tremendous sustenance and inspiration from seeing what people are doing all over the world.
Now, you criticize so many corporations. I mean, you just mentioned Walmart and oil companies, and you criticize so many
companies, do you ever hear back from them? Do they get mad at you?
I mean, we talk to representatives of corporations and government all the time. I mean, I think about, for example, a conversation we had. I'm really concerned about the increasing militarization of police in this country and the crackdown on dissent. And we had a broadcast where we interviewed Police Chief Norm Stamper, former police chief of Seattle, who really cracked down on the protests in 1999, forced out as a result. I mean, met the innocent nonviolent protesters with massive force. High school kids, their teachers, nurses, doctors, French farmers protesting the World Trade Organization. And we had a show with Chief Stamper and a spokesperson for the Police Foundation that had organized a conference call of 18 police chiefs for how they would deal with the Occupy encampments. And we see they've eviscerated them. I mean, we were there in New York when they just went and destroyed the encampment. And the spokesperson turned to Stamper on the show and said, "I'm so honored to be on with you. We really see you as a model." But Chief Stamper doesn't see what he does as a model. He sees it as a problem. He says it was the biggest mistake of his life, that he met these protesters who were peaceful protesters, their neighbors in Seattle of the police officers, with a level of force that was unacceptable. And he says we have to reexamine all of this. And I think that's true. You know, we have the Posse Comitatus Act in the United States that says it's not a good thing for U.S. soldiers to march through the streets of this country. I think the way authorities are getting around this is by militarizing the police. And it's not acceptable. It's a very big problem. But people are organizing, and there are a lot of good officers who also see this as a threat to their trying to actually enforce law and order. You know, rampaging police are not orderly, and much of what they do is not legal.
Give us some examples of stories that Democracy Now! Has broken that have made a difference, that have actually changed outcomes.
I think of Sharif Abdelkaddous's reporting in Tahrir. Now, of course, all of the media was reporting on Egypt, but our reporter, who comes from a very illustrious family in Egypt, his grandfather, the most famous writer of Egypt, Hassan Abdelkaddous, Sharif flew home, and the country was in digital darkness. Mubarak had shut off the internet using a U.S. company to help him, and Sharif immediately figured out a way around and became one of the top tweeters in the world. And then the thugs took down the satellites that the TV networks used. And I remember seeing Anderson Cooper on CNN in his hotel room saying, at a lower third, saying, "reporting from an undisclosed location." And he was on sort of a fuzzy Skype. But we, because necessity is a mother of invention, had pioneered a way to send broadcast quality video through the internet. So when the internet was brought back up, the satellites were brought down. You had Sharif reporting from Tahrir, interviewing the great Nawal Saadawi, the 79-year-old feminist, former presidential candidate who had been exiled under Mubarak and imprisoned under Sadat. We had Adef Sawef, the great Egyptian writer. He was interviewing her, a high school kid who put out the broadsheet Voices of Tahrir in the face of the state media building that had spewed lies for so long. And Hani Massoud, our video producer, also Egyptian-American, was putting these interviews together, sending them through the internet. And when the networks had fuzzy Skype, we were sending out these magnificent 20, 25-minute reports. And Sharif was being interviewed by all of the networks now. Here he was on the ground in Tahrir saying it was the safest place to be. I call that trickle-up journalism.
Very interesting.
And I would throw out a couple stories that fit that model that you mentioned, Mary Charlotte. One with a clear-cut positive outcome that was directly from Democracy Now! Was this, his name was Danny, the 9-year-old boy, in a private detention facility in Texas. Here we have his parents are on. We have this father who's been detained awaiting deportation or deportation hearing. And then he's talking about his son, a 9-year-old, and he's like, "Oh, he's actually right here in the cell with me." I think Amy and Juan were like, "He's right there in the cell." And this boy gets on live from on a phone from a private prison gulag somewhere in Texas. And, you know,
we literally said to him, "Can you tell us where you are and what you want right now?" 9-year-old boy, an immigrant. His family, the plane had been brought down in the U.S. They didn't want to come to the U.S. They wanted to go to Canada. But someone had a heart attack on the plane. So then they got off. They didn't have the right papers to come to the U.S., but they'd never wanted to. And they're put in this immigration prison. And he says, that he was sleeping against the toilet, his head against the toilet, and he said, I want to be free. I want to go to school. And these words we posted online, and it particularly had an effect in Canada, where they heard his words. His name was Kevin, 9-year-old Canadian boy speaking from an immigration jail in Taylor, Texas. And as those words were broadcast on the CBC and were transcribed and written in newspapers across Canada, the Canadian authorities finally let them back into Canada.
No, that I want to be free, screaming across headlines across Canada in the paper.
Why should people call KSFR right now?
428-1393. You don't even have to write that down, folks. Just go to your phone and dial 428-1393 because KSFR needs your support.
Now, since we'll be tweeting this out, what about the internet audience? What do they do?
They can go to ksfr.org and hit pledge now.
Excellent.
Or they can also call the toll-free number, which is 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR.
Please call. Please let Mary Charlotte know what an impact she is making on your life as you join her at the kitchen table at the cafe table. I see the media as a huge kitchen table, and Mary Charlotte lives that out every day, that we can all sit around and debate and discuss the most important issues of the day. 866-907-KSFR-5737, or just locally, 428-1393. But really, do it now. Don't just nod your head and think, God, we have this great resource, this great community table where we can all participate. You got to actually be there for KSFR. They don't ask you all the time, but when they do, whether you could do 25 or 50, maybe 100, maybe 200, if you could possibly do it, whatever you can do, it's not just a contribution. It's a just contribution. 428-1393, 866-907-5737.
Amy Goodman is the host of Democracy Now!, co-author with Dennis Moynihan of The Silenced Majority, Stories of Uprisings, Occupations, Resistance, and Hope. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mary Charlotte, just for being there.
And thank you, Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan, and all of our listeners. Now, how are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? How are we doing, Mary Lynn LeBlanc? Have we reached our $1,500 goal? Or are we almost there?
We are so close. So very, very close.
428.
We just need a couple hundred dollars.
Okay, 428-1393. And if we do it by the end of the news today, I will feel that we will have accomplished our goal for this hour. 428-1393. And make a pledge to KSFR. It really, this is it. I mean, we give you everything we've got. We pour our hearts out to you every day. We do it with as much passion and energy and intelligence and know-how and experience as we possibly can. We do it for the love of it. Nobody's getting rich here. Nobody's making a lot of money. And it's all good. We do it to bring you high-quality radio. And if that's what you want, then make a pledge now, because the only way it stays on the air is because you contribute to it. 505-428-1393. And on a completely different note, two completely different notes, I did an interview last week with E.J. Levy, who wrote this wonderful book called Amazon's A Love Story, which was supposed to have been tonight, and they postponed the date until the 13th of November. So don't go there tonight. We'll be talking about it again. When the time comes, we'll be announcing it again. But don't go up to the Audubon Center tonight, because it's not going to happen because of the presidential debates. They didn't want to conflict with that. Now, not only can you get a copy of the book, The Silenced Majority, you can also get, ladies and gentlemen, for a very modest contribution to KSFR, a gift certificate to Five Star Burger. Now, I was just looking at the Five Star Burger's website, and it is fabulous. I've seen them over there at the DeVargas Mall, which is kind of across, it's in the parking lot out by Albertsons. It's a little separated from the mall itself. Five Star Burgers has fresh, hormone and antibiotic free Angus beef from Harris Ranch, and it is the freshest, and from what I've heard from my burger eating friends, most delicious burger anywhere. So
they have very kindly given us some gift certificates, so you can score one of those too. 505-428-1393. Above all, make a contribution to KSFR just to make it, just to make that contribution, to keep this show on the air, to keep this station on the air, to keep the news on the air. And are you going to read the thank yous after the news? We've just got a few seconds
left. I think we'll do that, but there's so many to thanks, and thank you all.
I'm going to stay on the air, and I will see you after the news, and we'll say thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners. Please call right now so we can reach our $1,500 goal by the end of the news. 505-428-1393. The KSFR Fun Drive. See you in just a moment.
And welcome back to... Mary Lynn LeBlanc and Mary Charlotte DeMondi.
We are still here.
We're still here, yeah.
And we're going to go into jazz in just a moment, but we wanted to give thank yous to all the people who contributed during the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Did we make our goal?
Well, you know, somebody's still on the phone, and I don't have that number because before that person, while they're talking, they haven't given the amount yet.
Oh, okay.
But we were like... $50 short of the goal.
$1,500 goal. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna just kind of like say
we made it.
We think we made it. Thank you so much. Now let's hear the thank yous.
Yeah, we have Jackie Dooley.
Thank you.
Ann Wrinkle.
Yay.
Karen Lee.
Thank you.
Sarah Potter.
Wonderful.
Nicole Holmes.
Yay.
Sharon Wolf. Tinan from Rio Rancho.
Thank you.
Roberto Yeshuda.
I love hearing that there's people calling from Rio Rancho.
That's wonderful.
Thank you, people from Rio Rancho. Thank you, Sharon.
And you get Roberta Yeshuda.
I mean, okay, yeah, Roberta.
And Susan Kirk. Cook. I'm sorry, Susan Cook.
Thank you, Susan.
Can't read my own writing.
Mm.
Barbara Gracia.
Thank you.
And Ellie, who loves you, Mary Charlotte. She went and heard Amy at the Lindsay, was super excited.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean...
That was a great event.
It was.
And it got broadcast on KSFR, right? Or is it still to be broadcast?
It broadcasted on Sunday at 1 p.m. All the Lannan events we have here, readings and conversations, and In Pursuit of Cultural Freedom series, are broadcast on the Sunday following at 1 p.m.,
And I think they can be found then later on the Lannan website, Lannan.org, so you may want to check that out as well.
Right.
That was a great event. So keep going.
So that's it for the thank yous, I
Yay,
think. There may be a few more because people are writing and in there, and I'm in another room running back and forth. But
well,
we'll
some
thank
during
you
jazz.
During jazz. Sean and Jerry are ready, chomping at the bit to come in. So 428-1393. Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you. To all of you, thanks to our listeners, to KSFR, and here comes jazz.
Yeah.